Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. So tonight we have two sponsors. I go in the order in which I receive the information and sponsorship. So first of all, my friend Dora Glack, who Dora and I have been looking together for a long time in Parsha and different venues, Baruch Hashem. She is sponsoring L'Zeichon Nishmas, her father. She actually asked her daughter to write a piece about Dora asked her daughter to write a piece about Dora's father, Alav Shalom. My Zaidi was the strongest, most resilient man I have ever met. He lost everything he had in the Holocaust, including his wife and two children. So he was a survivor, Dora's father. But he had the strength, courage, and faith to rebuild anew. He picked himself up from the devastation of the war. He remarried and he built a beautiful family whose core was Torah values. Despite his personal hardship and tragedy, his face radiated with true simcha. He exuded a zest for life, a simchas hachayim. He was always upbeat and vibrant. He taught us that life is a precious gift. Zaidi could always be found immersed in prayer with a sefer Tehillim in his hands. He taught us to turn to Hashem no matter the circumstance, whether in times of pain or in times of joy. He instilled in all of us a true perspective of Torah on life, and that only the everlasting thing we all have is Torah learning and mitzvos. May his neshama have an aliyah. I miss you so much, Zaidi. And Dora, I just realized now, not when I was preparing, that in this piece I do not have your father's name. So if you could please put it on the chat, okay? In the piece included that you sent me from your daughter, I don't have the name, so please post it for me, okay? Miriam Nussbaum is a newer person who I learned with more recently, and she is sponsoring L'Zeichon Nishmas, her husband, okay? Alan Nussbaum, Asher Ben Eliezer, Alav Shalom, was a man of strong principles and wisdom, a man whose advice and counsel was often sought after. He was an extraordinary husband, father, and grandfather, and a careful observer of kibbutz av to his own father, Alav Hashem, who was nifter only 3 months before his own patira. He had an innate awareness regarding tzarchi tzibur. He stepped up to the plate to get things done. He ran our camp business, and only during the Shiva did we find out how much chesed he performed to enable children to join the camp program. It is his fifth yahrzeit on Tuesday, 17 Teves. May Asher Ben Eliezer Neshama merit an aliyah and the source of the Torah we will share. And Miriam wrote about her husband. He is sorely missed by his family, friends, and community. Yehi Zechro Baruch. And Dora's father is Avram Chaim Ben Simcha. So that's pretty befitting of his name because your daughter described him as someone who is full of Simcha Sachayim. So may the neshamas of Avram Chaim Ben Simcha Alav Hashalom and Asher Ben Eliezer Alav Hashalom merit Elios and the schus of the Torah that we will share together this evening. So I mentioned last week that the Mishnah that we're up to, I think I'm going to continue it next week, and that is what I want to talk about. However, what we're going to do is talk about the Tana who taught us these teachings. We did it a couple of times in the past, and I found it particularly fascinating, but sometimes we're just quoting names, and this rabbi says this, and this rabbi says that, without really delving into the life of this Torah personality. Who were they? Excuse me, how did their times shape them? What is the history of the time period in which they lived? So I'm just going to remind you of the two Mishnayos that we saw last week. Okay, we're in Perek Beis, towards the end of Perek Beis and Perek Avos. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. And last week we did not speak about Rabbi Tarfon at all. We only spoke about his teachings. Tonight we're going to talk not about his teachings so much as the person, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Hayom katzer v'hamalacha meruba v'hapoalim atzelim v'aschar harbei u'bal bayis. Rabbi Tarfon teaches the day is short, the work is much, the workers are lazy, the reward is very great, and the Baal HaBayis, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, is pushing us to get the work done. Hu hayam omer, lo alecha hamlacha ligmar, not upon you is the work to finish. V'lo ata ben chorini, but on the one hand you can't finish the work, on the other hand you are not free of putting in your responsibility and doing what you can. If you learned a lot of Torah, you will receive a lot of reward. Hashem is a trustworthy employee and he will pay you your reward for your work. You should know that the eternal reward is the real reward for tzaddik, and the righteous do not receive their reward in this world, rather in the next world. So what I would like to do tonight is talk about the personality of who was Rabbi Tarfon. And I don't do this so often, but I find them extremely interesting. For me, even, because we don't know. I'm always saying this rabbi says this and this rabbi says that, and we might be familiar with the names without really knowing anything about the lives of the Torah personalities who teach us these pearls and these gems of wisdom. So I see that my mother-in-law is joining us. So, Bishus, my mother-in-law, good evening. Okay. Who is Rabbi Tarfon? Okay, so I'm quoting from the Sefer Introduction to the Talmud, History, Personalities, and Background. It's put out by Artsville. It's a companion to Talmud Bavli. So who is Rabbi Tarfon? First of all, he was a Tana. As you're going to see, he's a colleague of the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva. From where? From Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Tarfon is, quote, a well-known Tana who flourished in the period immediately following the destruction of the Second Temple. So in the period immediately following the destruction of the Second Temple, and we know that Rabbi Akiva also lived in this time period, post-Churban Bayit Sheni. That's when Rabbi Tarfon lived. He was a member of the Sanhedrin in Yavna. First, he was a teacher of Rabbi Akiva. And then, as Rabbi Akiva grew and grew in Torah learning, he became a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. So, what about his ancestry? What about his parents, his family? Both Rabbi Tarfon's father and mother came from families of Kohanim, so he himself was a Kohen. Rabbi Tarfon used to reminisce that his maternal uncle, his mother's brother, had served in the temple. And one time, he stood with him on the special platform to Duchen in order to bless the people, and he heard the Kohen Gadol murmuring one of the ineffable names of God. That's brought down in Maseches Kedushin. So great was Rabbi Tarfon when he's standing on the platform to Duchen with his maternal uncle, who's a Kohen and serving in the Beis Hamikdash. He actually heard the unpronounceable, the all-holy, the forbidden to even say name of God being uttered by the Kohen Gadol. Nothing more is known about his ancestry, so we don't know much more about his past, only that his parents are Kohanim, and this one vignette about his mother's brother. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida that Rabbi Tarfon was the tallest man in his generation. And also he was fabulously wealthy, which we're going to discuss later. If we don't get to tonight, then we will get to, maybe tonight, I think, I hope, then next week, Blinita. So he was very tall, and perhaps that's a teaching that's meant to teach us that he was tall in stature, because I don't know, but who cares if he was tall or short? Like Lemaisa, what does that teach me, right? Almost 2,000 years later, he lived right after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. But if you tell me that someone is very tall, you should be a gadol, not only in physical height, but a person should be a gadol of Kosher and Torah, a mitzvah, a ma'isim tova, mechased. So then we understand the significance of knowing that Rabbi Tarfon was very tall. Rabbi Tarfon studied under the leader of his generation, which was the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and also he was a student in the Academy of Shammai, Beis Shammai. Now we spoke previously about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and that fact that he was a student in the Academy of Beis Shammai is going to come into play later in his biography. So he was studied under Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he was also from Beis Shammai. We know that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were constantly having machlokas. This one would say that way, this one would say that way, and Beis Shammai was known to be much more machmir, and Beis Hillel was known to be more foregoing, aluvin, no chalin va'aluvin, says the Gemara, Aruvin 13b. They were more foregoing, they would let things slide, they would let things go. For example, the convert said, teach me Torah on one foot. Shammai pushed him away. Hillel said, okay, I'll teach you Torah while you stand on one foot. So Rabbi Tarfon was from the school of thought of Beis Shammai. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, he was already an accomplished scholar. So again, I think these history classes, even though we don't have them too often, are just as important as the Hashkafa classes, because we don't know about these people, and they were real, and they lived, and they witnessed the Churban Beis HaMikdash with their own eyes, and that included not only the destruction of the temple. This past week we just fasted for Asar B'Teves. It's one of the 4 days of mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash, but they were real people, and they lived, and they saw the destruction of the temple, which included not only the physical destruction of the bricks of the building, of the stone, of the wood of the building, but also the slaughter of many Jews. And many Jews were also taken into exile. We know that the Colosseum was built with the plunder of the Beis HaMikdash. Many Jewish slaves were used for fighting between animals back in Rome. So he lived during this time. When the temple was destroyed, he was already an accomplished scholar. He then joined the assembly of sages in Yavne, the Kerem BeYavne, under the leadership of Rabbi Gamliel II, and Rabbi Tarfon became one of the leading scholars there. Wait, I forgot to say that I'm talking about Churban. I don't know if you saw that tonight, or so there was a terror attack. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu Ad Masai. We are still davening, or I'm still davening for Aaron Yehuda Ben Tova, who was seriously wounded in the terror attack about a month ago, where Ali Kei, Hashem Yukam Dama, was murdered. There was a terror attack tonight. A young man in his 20s, my son just showed me before, I don't remember his name, a young Amdati man in his 20s, married with a one-year-old child, was murdered in a drive-by shooting. Someone wants to look it up. I don't want to take the time to go right now online. You could probably find it on Yeshiva World News, or Arut 7. You could just post the name on the chat if you want. So when we talk about Churban, it's unfortunately until the Mashiach comes, it's an ongoing process. Going back to Rabbi Tarfon, his colleagues are familiar to us from the pages of the Mishnah. So who were the colleagues? In whose time did he live? Who did he learn with? Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Elazar Hamoadi, and Rabbi Akiva. Later, he settled in Lod, and he became one of the leaders of the city, and he had a direct hand in all the affairs of Lod. Okay, it tells us who his students are, which I'm going to skip. I'm not going to tell you the entire biography from here. Rabbi Tarfon, and this I found particularly interesting, relevant, and important. Rabbi Tarfon had an especially close relationship with the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came so great that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, maybe, Chavchas, that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the back of Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what Rabbi Akiva was teaching. And he said to Hashem, if there's a person like this in that generation, why are you giving the Torah through me? How did that conversation even come to be between Moshe and God? Because Moshe saw Hashem attaching crowns to the letters of Torah. So he said, why are you putting taglin? Why are you putting crowns on the letters of Torah? So Hashem said, there will arise such a great scholar, Akiva ben Yosef, who will derive lessons from the crown. So Moshe said, show him to me. He ended up in the Beis Medrash, and Moshe Rabbeinu, as Chazal tell us, did not understand what Rabbi Akiva was teaching. So Rabbi Tarfon was obviously a very, very great Tana, and he had a very close relationship with Rabbi Akiva. Although Rabbi Tarfon was originally one of Rabbi Akiva's teachers, okay, because we know he only began to study Torah at the age of 40, Rabbi Akiva rose to become a colleague, and not only a colleague of Rabbi Akiva's, but a frequent dispute, Rabbi Akiva rose to become not only a colleague of Rabbi Tarfon, but also a frequent disputant. So they had a lot of machlokas, shehi l'shem shamayim. Interestingly, the Gemara cites a machlokas. Is Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva's teacher, or is he his colleague? So this tells you, A, how great Rabbi Tarfon was, that he was zocheh to teach Rabbi Akiva, and B, how great Rabbi Akiva was, that he surpassed his teacher and became almost his colleague. Or it's even questionable if Rabbi Tarfon was his teacher anymore. Rabbi Tarfon debates and argues with Rabbi Akiva far more times than any other Tana in the Mishnah. So when we talk about Machloka Shehi L'Shem Shemayim, this isn't like, you know, when you have an argument with your friend and now the two of you are in a fight, or if you have an argument with your neighbor, you have an argument with somebody in the parking lot over a parking spot, Hashem should save us from all those kinds of Machlokas. Here we are talking about Torah giants, each one who feels their position is correct, and this is an argument, Shehi L'Shem Shemayim, which is obviously Sofa L'Hiskayim, which is why these arguments, these Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim, are recorded for us in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they are still studied today. However, despite the fact that Rabbi Tarfon debates and argues with Rabbi Akiva far more times than any other Tana in the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon held Rabbi Akiva in great esteem, and he was happy to admit defeat when Rabbi Akiva proved his position to be correct. And this is one of the traits of Torah scholars. They don't want to be right because I'm right. They believe that that position is correct because that is what Hashem intended. If they can be proven that that position is not correct, al pi Torah, then they don't want covered for themselves. It's in Perek Vav, Pirkei Avos. Everything Hashem created in the world, He only created for His kavod. So Rabbi Tarfon was happy happy to admit defeat, happy to admit to be not embarrassed, not ashamed to say I'm wrong, because why? Everything that Hashem created in this world is for God's kavod. So if that means my position was incorrect, then I retract and your position is correct. Furthermore, what is the other thing that I wanted to say about that? Oh yes, one of the traits of a Torah scholar, like Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, is that he must be moda al ha'emes. So moda al ha'emes doesn't only mean be thankful for the truth, but being able to admit the truth. Because it's not easy, if you're having an argument with somebody, to all of a sudden realize that you're wrong and they're right, and to back down and to admit defeat. But this is the way of great Torah scholars, and it teaches us what is truly a machokas l'shem shamayim. If I'm truly fighting for the honor of God and not for my own honor, then when the truth is revealed, it's not hard for me to be moda ala emes. A, to be thankful for the truth, and B, to admit when you are correct and I am not. Once, after a lengthy debate in which Rabbi Tarfon finally conceded to Rabbi Akiva, he exclaimed, "Akiva, whoever separates himself from you, it's as if he separates from life himself." So here you have a teacher whose student almost surpassed him, if you will, in Torah, and he took such nachas from that, and he was happy from that, and he said, "Whoever separates from my student, Rabbi Akiva, it's as if he separates from life itself." You know, it's hard to imagine, what did the Holy Land look like then? What was the infrastructure? We can go to the places in the land. Well, unfortunately, not today, but hopefully very soon we'll be able to go back. And we see the excavations, and they had a thriving society, and they had a thriving culture, and they had thriving Batei Medrash as well. And this is post-Churban. So you see that Torah, to paraphrase Rav Soloveitchik, Torah is the cohesive force that binds Am Yisrael together. The Romans thought the cohesive force that binds Am Yisrael together is the Beis HaMikdash. The Romans thought if we destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it will be the end of Am Yisrael. 65 years after the Churban, they were very confused. How are these people still thriving? We destroyed their holy temple. They realized at that time, says the Rav, that Torah, and not a building of bricks and stones, is the cohesive force that unites Yisrael. Another time, Rabbi Tarfon said, "Fortunate are you, our forefather Avram, that Akiva has descended from you. Ashracha Avram Avinu, that our forefather Avram, that Akiva has descended from you." And this is still a compliment today that is given if you see a very illustrious Torah scholar or person of Torah. So the Gemara says that, what do we say? Ashrei Yaladato. Fortunate is the one who gave birth to that person. So Rabbi Tarfon would say about Avram Avinu, fortunate are you that Rabbi Akiva is one of your children. That's also particularly interesting because Rabbi Akiva came from a convert. That a convert takes the name of Avram Avinu, a male convert. Yosef, his father was Yosef, will become Yosef ben Avram. So in this sense, he was saying, Rabbi Akiva is almost like your grandchild. Unfortunate are you, Avram, how great is Rabbi Akiva? The respect was mutual. Rabbi Akiva greatly admired Rabbi Tarfon as well and constantly defended his honor. When Rabbi Tarfon once bemoaned that he would have to pay a plaintiff for incorrectly ruling on a certain case, Rabbi Akiva consoled him and showed him that he was in fact not obligated to pay. That's from a Mishnah Maseches Brachos. On a different occasion, Rabbi Akiva noticed a young Torah scholar's face shone with happiness because he had bested the great Rabbi Tarfon. So a young Torah scholar was feeling a little bit of gaiva, a little bit of happiness. I've proven Rabbi Tarfon wrong. Rabbi Akiva reprimanded him, and he said, "Has your face become radiant because you rebutted an elder sage? I would be surprised if you live long." Indeed, the young sage passed away less than 3 months later. So from this incident between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, where Rabbi Akiva defended Rabbi Tarfon when the young scholar was so proud of himself for upstanding, if you will, for proving Rabbi Tarfon wrong, and Rabbi Akiva rebuked him, from here we learn how careful we have to be with the kavod of our gedolim and kavod rabbanim, a respect for amunas chachamim. Even if I don't always understand, maybe this young Torah scholar did not exactly understand what Rabbi Tarfon was teaching, I don't know. But even if we don't understand what our rabbanim say and what our gedolim say, and even if it might not make sense to me, it shows us the tremendous respect we have to have for Das Torah, the tremendous amunas chachamim we must have, and the tremendous kavod for our gedolim that we must have. This past year, on the yahrzeit of the great Gaon, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzad V'Kadosh Levracha, was in the news. So some hooligans or detractors or people who didn't agree with his positions came and defaced his matzeva. His matzeva says nothing but his name. He wanted no kavod. probably in the Olam HaEmes down here, when they sprayed graffiti on his door, he was happy. He said, I need the embarrassment to take away my punishment in the Olam HaEmes. It's hard to imagine such a lack of kavod for gedolim, such a lack of emunas chachamim, such a lack of mutual respect for another Jew, someone as great as Rav HaGaon, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, Zichus Yagen Aleinu. That's a lesson to us, that we have to be very careful in how we talk about our Rabbanim, and how we talk about their Pisukei Halacha, and how we talk about their approaches, the impression that we give to our children, and the kavod that we have to have, Tnu Kavod Torah, for our Talmidei Chachamim. So when this young Torah scholar was so pleased with himself because he showed Rabbi Tarfon to be, quote, wrong, or he embarrassed him, whatever it was, Rabbi Akiva was shocked. He said, I would be surprised if you live long. And in fact, the young Torah scholar died 3 months later. That's from the Gemara Maseches Menachos. Rabbi Tarfon appears very frequently, nearly 50 times in the Mishnah. Nearly 50 times in the Mishnah, mostly in disputes with Rabbi Akiva. He also appears frequently in Braisos and other places throughout the Talmud and the Midrash, as well as in the, where is Rabbi Tarfon famous? Where is Rabbi Tarfon famous? Besides for all this history, which I didn't know before I prepared this shiur, which you probably, I'm going to mention, say didn't know, unless you're not making a joke, Baki, in the history of the Tanaim, where do we know Rabbi Tarfon from? Oh, very nice, right up Birnbaum. Very, very nice. Oh, 1 second. Gail Hoffman posted, which I didn't see before. Thank you. Yehuda Dimintman was 25 years old. He had one young child, and he was killed today in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Yom Kom Damo, Dayenu, Misha Amar Day La'olam, Yom Amar Day L'Tzorasenu. So Varda Birnbaum, you are correct, from Baltimore. The Haggadah, right near the beginning of Magid. What do we say in the Pesach Haggadah? Next we could go to Parsha Shmaus, Vayimar Eschayim Bavoda Kasha, Bechomer Belenim. Not this week, this week is Vayichi, next week. Bechol Avoda Sh'avduhem Befarach. Avadim hayinu leparah b'mitzrayim, v'yotzeinu Hashem elokeinu misham b'yad chazaku v'zro netuya. V'ilu lo hotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu esav v'seinu b'mitzrayim, harei anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu mishubadim hayinu leparah b'mitzrayim, v'afrilu kulamim chachamim, even if we were all so wise. Kulanu nevonim, even if we were all so discerning and understanding. Kulanu zakenim, zeshakana chachma, even if we were all great Torah scholars. Kulanu yodim es haTorah, even if we knew all the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, v'chol amar b'lesaper, areza meshubach, is a mitzvah to tell the story b'tzias Mitzrayim. Anyone who tells more, behold, this is more praiseworthy. So no matter how smart a person is, how great a person is, how much chachma they have acquired, how amazing their stature is, they have a mitzvah to tell about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whoever tells more is more praiseworthy. Now, that's right, that's Avadim Hayinu. So we have the Halach Ma'anya, and we have the Kashos, and then we start with the Avadim Hayinu. And then, right in the beginning of Magid, Ma'ise, very nice, Varda Birba, Ma'ise, Barabi Eliezer, Barabi Yoshua, Barabi Elazar Ben Azariah, Barabi Akiva, Barabi Tarfon, Shahayu Misub, Mim Bibinei Brak. When? Now we're learning when. In Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, in the aftermath of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were reclining in Bnei Brak, these great Torah scholars. They were Chachamim and Nevonim and Zekenim and Kulanu Yodim Es HaTorah. Nevertheless, Mitzvah Leinu L'Saper B'Tzias Mitzrayim. And how do you know? Because I'm going to give you an example of these great rabbis who knew Kol Torah Kula, yet they sat in Bnei Brak and they were telling Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ma'aseh B'Rabbi Eliezer, V'Rabbi Yoshu, V'Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, V'Rabbi Akiva, V'Rabbi Tarfon. Shahayu misubim b'bnei brak, v'hayu misaprim b'yitzias mitzrayim, kol oso halayla. They were telling the story. They were reclining in Bnei Brak, at a seder, obviously in Bnei Brak, a mitzvah, halayla zeh kulanu misubin. Usually we don't recline at all. You sit in a chair. Tonight, ma'anishtana, halayla zeh mikol halaylos, v'hayu misaprim b'yitzias mitzrayim. They were telling the story of yitzias mitzrayim because the Haggadah has just told us, kol amar b'lesaper hareza mishubach, whoever tells more is more praiseworthy. Kol oso halayla that whole night, at shabau talmidehim v'amulahem, until their students came and said to them, Raboseinu, our great rabbis, Higiasman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, the time for Kriya Shema of the morning, the sun has dawned, the time of Kriya Shema is here. Chol Marbala Sapper, they were telling the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night long. And the last sage in this list of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Nazari, Rabbi Kiva, this list, the last sage in the list of five is the Tana, Rabbi Tarfon, who we're talking about tonight. So I am quoting from An Exalted Evening, the Seder Night, Insights and Commentary of Rabbi Joseph B. Salavichik, the Rav Zatzal, to the Pesach Haggadah, and the Yom Tov of Pesach. So, of course, there's much to say about every passage in the Haggadah. That's why Kol Marbel HaSapar is a Meshubach, and that's why there is perhaps such a plethora of Haggadah, more than any other Sefer, almost. But I'm just going to quote one excerpt from the Rav related to this story, which deals with our Rabbi Tarfon. Magidim, those who tell stories, Magidim, those who interpret, Lahagid, Magidim have a beautiful interpretation to this paragraph, says the Rav. They say this refers to the Pesach that preceded the outbreak of the insurrection on the part of the Bar Kokhba revolt against Rome. So we know that Bar Koziva, a star will shoot forth, Bar Kokhba, Kokhva, Kochav, Bar Kokhva, son of a star, Bar Koziva, and even Rabbi Kiva thought he was the Mashiach. And they were going to have an insurrection on the part of Bar Kokhva against Rome. They would talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it was not only a story of the past, what happened to Paro so many thousands of years ago, it was a story of the present. They were talking about a revolt that was going to happen tomorrow. The study of the Exodus, they wanted to use that to guide them in their revolt. They would talk, therefore, of Yetzias Mitzrayim the whole night. It was a long night. And the Bar Kokhba revolt was planned on that Seder night. They studied Yetzias Mitzrayim not only as an event of the past, but also as a clue and a key to the future. And by the way, when we sit down on Leil HaSeder, Benu Urenu Vizikneinu, Bibanenu Uvivnosenu Nelech, Ki Chag L'Hashem Machar, and we celebrate the Chag, that's exactly how we're supposed to look at Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It is not only an event of the past, but the Great Exodus is a clue and a key to the future as well. If they were redeemed, we will be redeemed. It gives us hope. If they were able to maintain their Jewish identity, we are able to maintain our Jewish identity. If the Egyptians came and went and Am Yisrael is still here, then it means our enemies today will come and go, because we will always be here. These great rabbis did not belong to the same generation, says the Rav Salavichik. Rabbi Akiva was much younger than Rabbi Tarfon. We already know that from the biography, because remember, Rabbi Akiva started off as a student of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was younger than Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Tarfon was older, Rabbi Akiva was younger than that, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was even younger than that. So this represents a span of three generations, and this is significant that you have three generations sitting at the same table. I'm not talking about colleagues or not. Age-wise, Rabbi Tarfon was older than Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was older than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What does this tell us? It tells us about the intermeshing of the generations, that each generation does not live, and each person in each generation does not live only unto themselves. The goal of every person in every generation is to pass on the Mesorah to the next, Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to his students, down to us today, down to our students and our children. The passage tells us how the sages of Israel, the Chachmei Yisrael, were concerned with one problem. Of three generations are sitting together, and they're reclining on Bnei Brak, and the whole night they're talking about Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What were they talking about? How to transmit the Torah midor ledor, how to ensure the transmission of Torah from generation to generation. These five scholars represent a community of old and young, of teachers and of students, of the father figure and the son figure. But they were all united. They had one common goal and one common mission, these three generations, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They knew that the story of the Exodus is the great story of the Torah. And again, I'm going to reiterate, the next week's parsha begins, Parsha Shmos. That is also recited in the Pesach Haggadah. Vayakom melech chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. Vayomer al amo hava nischak malo. Pen yirbe v'nosaf hu gam al soneinu v'ala min ha'aretz. They knew the story of the Exodus, and it is the great story of Torah. They spoke of the Exodus the whole night, Kol Oso Halayla. What does that represent? Not only the night of Pesach, but the night of Galut. They spoke the whole of the whole night of Jewish exile. They knew it was going to be a very long night. There would be Roman detectives, investigators. Throughout our history, there have been executioners. Dora's father was a Holocaust survivor. He lost his wife, lost his first wife, and his two children were murdered. How you misaprim, b'yetzias Mitzrayim kol oso halayla. Those generations understood. Rabbi Tarfon, who lived post by Yesheni Churban, Rabbi Akiva, who was martyred, Al Kiddush Hashem is one of the Sarah who gave Malchus, and their student, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, from grandfather to father to Talmud, they understood how can we get through Yetzias Mitzrayim kol oso halayla. What shall we do? And 2,000 years after Churban, they are still murdering Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Today, Yehuda Dementman, Hashem Yukom Damo, 25 years old, with a one-year-old child. If you saw his picture or not, I don't know. My son showed me a big, big kippah suga, long payas, a beard. He was a student in a yeshiva. What were they talking about? Kol Oso Halayla? Yetzias Mitzrayim. That there will be an exile, and there will be an end. I was thinking, I don't know, I didn't see it anywhere. Going on a limb, maybe. But tarfon is from the root word tarof, to tear. Yaakov, is anyone else thinking about that when I'm speaking? Yaakov Avinu, when they come back in Perak Lamed Zayin of Bereishis, Hakernak, Sonas Bin Chahiyamo, they tear Yosef's coat, they dip it into goat's blood, they bring it to Yaakov, they say, is this your son's coat? Do you recognize it or not? And what does he say? Tarof taraf bini, my son has been torn to shreds. My son has been torn to shreds. Ayima ein lisnachem, he refused to be comforted. He says, Ki eret al bani chayim shol, I'm going to go down to the grave mourning for my child. My son has been torn to shreds. So I always emphasize that names in Tanakh are totally not an accident at all. Anyone started learning Divrei Hayamim Bet with me, stay tuned. We're going to start talk about soon the names of the kings of Malchus Yehuda. Names are totally not an accident. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are not an accent. And it's just interesting that Rabbi Tarfon is from the word tarof, to tear apart. That's where the word trefa comes from, by the way. The same shoresh, okay? Basar basada trefa lo so chelu, lakav tashlichun oso. It's the last pasuk of Perachav Beis and Parashas Mishpatim, Sefer Shmos. Basar basada trefa lo so chelu, lakav tashlichun oso, taraf taraf bini, Rabbi Tarfon. So it's all the same shoresh. So I can't, even though I'm not sure I'm going on Olam or not, you can't deny Lashon HaKodesh. It's right there in front of us. And perhaps it's telling us that he lived in a time when Knesset Yisrael and Jewish autonomy in Eretz Yisrael was torn to shreds. He lived in the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it was his job to ensure, as the elder sage, right? He was a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he's the teacher of Rabbi Akiva, who's the teacher of Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Then they become colleagues, because what are they all working on together? Three generations sitting down at the table. How can we ensure that what has been torn will be sewn together and remain as one whole? How can we be sure that Knesset Yisrael, which has been torn apart by the Romans, by Esav, by Edom, what was Edom? He was an Isho Deat Sayyid. He was an Ish Sada. Esav was a hunter. We're in Galus Romi. The Romans, Esav, Edom, are the ones who destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They know how to hunt. They know how to tear apart. They know how to bring destruction. Rabbi Tarfon lived in a time when his tafkid was to ensure the continuity of Torah, despite the fact that he saw Am Yisrael potentially being torn to shreds by Churban Beis HaMikdash. So again, I didn't see it anywhere, so if it's wrong, it's my own, it's on me. But it sounds like it's right, and the Shorashim Lashon HaKodesh are the Shorashim Lashon HaKodesh. So it has to mean something, because it's not an accident. I think it makes sense. They spoke of the Exodus the whole night, not only the night of Passover, but the great night of Galut, of Jewish exile. It was a very long night. Roman detectives, investigators, and executioners, and unfortunately it hasn't stopped. It was not only these five named sages who participated in this dialogue. After Rabbi Akiva was executed, Rabbi Akiva is one of the Asar Harugei Malchus. We spoke about him last night in Shir. After Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua died, another generation assumed leadership. And that's the key to Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Jewish survival from one generation to the next. They kept on teaching and preaching and propagating Torah without any interruption. I'll be finished in a few minutes.
Can we go downstairs? We won't go in the room.
Okay, you could go downstairs. No, you could just stay on the couch,
yeah.
Please. Okay, thank you. They kept on teaching and preaching and propagating Torah without any interruption, in spite of all the opposition and religious persecution and torture. So I'm going back to what I proposed, and I think it makes a lot of sense. They lived in a time of opposition, religious persecution, and torture. So there was spiritual persecution, religious persecution is spiritual enemies. And they also lived in a time of the Asar Harugei Malchus. And in fact, you're going to see, it's not going to be in this class for sure, but there are some who say Rabbi Tarfon was one of the Asar Harugei Malchus. So we lived in a time when the enemy was trying to tear us apart. Why is an animal called a treifa? Basar basada treifa lo zocheli lechad tashlichun oso. The animal might have started off as kosher, but it was torn to shreds in the field. You can't eat a cow that could be a perfectly kosher cow. Maybe the lugs are kosher and all the internal organs are kosher. And he took out the Gita Nesha. It doesn't matter. It was torn. It wasn't shechted properly. It was torn apart. And that's what the Romans were trying to do in the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. There was opposition, religious persecution, and torture. And today the enemy also tries to tear us apart. And we have to remember the giants like Rabbi Tarfon, who worked to ensure that Knesset Israel will remain whole. How? Another generation must always assume leadership. Remember, I'm quoting this second part of Shir is based on the Rav. They kept on teaching and preaching and propagating Torah without any interruption, in spite of all the opposition, religious persecution, and torture. The tales of the rabbis in Bnei Brak was not just an isolated historical event, says the Rav. It is a perennial drama. What's perennial? I know from gardening. Annuals are flowers that you have to plant every year. What are perennials? They come back every year. A perennial is a flower that comes back every year. The story of the rabbis in Bnei Brak is a perennial drama. That means every single year, all over the world, generations sit down, represented in the elder Rabbi Tarfon, the student Rabbi Kivu became his colleague, and the younger student Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It is a perennial drama. It grows back every year spontaneously. It has been enacted since antiquity, hundreds of times, thousands of times. Every time you sit down to Leil HaSeder, Hayim Mesubim B'Bnei Brak, you are recreating the experience of these sages in Bnei Brak. The people who acted out this drama with tears, and blood were not 5 scholars or 10 scholars. They represent the countless individuals in each generation, anonymous fathers, unknown mothers, forgotten teachers, nursemaids, servants, lonely souls, tragic people who are all involved in one task, one goal. We remember the names of some of the great Jews who came before us, but not all the great Jews who came before us. Most Jews of times past are in fact anonymous. Do you know names of all the Jews from the times of the Chassam Sofer? Do you know names of the Jews from the time of the Rambam? Do you know names of the Jews from the time of Rashi? We don't know. Who are they? But we're here because of them. Because they modeled the Seder of Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua, where generations come together. The whole night, i.e. the whole galus, they speak of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I will repeat the last sentence of the Rav again. The people who acted out this drama with tears and blood were not 5 or 10 scholars. Countless individuals in each generation. Anonymous fathers, unknown mothers, forgotten teachers, nursemaids, servants, lonely souls, and tragic people. But they are all involved in one task, one goal. And this generation, these Rabbanim, were mamish experiencing it, living it. Tarof taraf bini. Basar basada trefa lo sochelu. Rabbi Tarfon. He worked to ensure that what had been torn apart by the Romans would be whole once again. This, says the Rav, I see the time, I just want to finish this piece of the Rav. This, says the Rav, is the central story of our destiny. We have survived. We are now building the land of Israel. The key to the riddle of how we survive. What's the key to the riddle? How are we still here? The solution to this enigma. What's the solution? What's the answer to the mystery of how we're able to still continue reading the Haggadah for thousands of years? Lies with teachers and parents who tell the story of the Exodus throughout the whole dark night. Who retell the story of the Exodus, not only the Exodus, meaning, the story of the survival of Knesset Yisrael throughout their lifespan. Here in this narrative, one day is mentioned. One generation that continues generation after generation. And we today, says the Rav, are continuing it now too. We wait impatiently for daybreak, called also Halayla. They understood, these five rabbis, that the Galus would be very, very long. And the night would be very, very dark. And yet we continue to narrate the story of the Exodus. Vayakam echadosh al Mitzrayim, asher lo yada es Yosef. Vayomer lemayados ha'ivrios, asher shema echashifra v'shema shenis pua. Uri isan al ha'avnayim, im benhu v'hamiten oso. And yet, we will continue to narrate the story of the Exodus. We will tell the tale of all tales, the Sipur, which never becomes obsolete. The Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is replete with fervor, which is powerful, which is fascinating. And in my own words, which mends what the enemy tries to rip apart. This was only part one of the biography of the great Tana Rabbi Akiva, who was a teacher and colleague of Rabbi Akiva. And Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we will continue. So we thank Dora Glock very much. And by the way, I think very much that the ideas we share tonight relate very much to the Niftarim in whose memory we learned. One was a Holocaust survivor who lost his wife and children, who was torn apart, and who strove to rebuild through the core values of Torah, as his granddaughter wrote. So may the Neshem of Avram Chaim ben Simcha merit an Aliyah Neshama. And the other, Asher ben Eliezer, Alav Hashem, who quietly, without fanfare, helped children come to camp, tzedakah, chesed, ensuring the education of the next generation and transmitting our values, midor dor. So may both neshamas have leis in the schus of the Torah that we shared. I thank everyone for joining. Before you hang up, please listen. I'm saying it also because sometimes people reach out to me, they hear online. We need sponsors for January. Baruch Hashem, someone just asked me, what shiur do you have tonight? So I said, it's almost 2 years. I said, it's just amazing. Really is. Mikaim Chai Yisrael, Mamesh, Lahagdil Torah, Lahadira. We Baruch Hashem have sponsors through the end of December. If you benefit from this shiur in any way, shape, or form, and you have a certain event coming up or something would like to sponsor, if you never took a turn, if you're able to, please reach out. It will be greatly appreciated by all the women who benefit. And then it goes on YU Torah and more people listen. So I thank our past, this evening's, and future sponsors. I wish everybody a week of Besoros Tovos. Halavai. And I look forward to continuing the story of Rabbi Tarfu next week. Thank you so much and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov to all. Thank you.